Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsive day for the 18th of Tevet. This is a response from a respondent we have not used before. It's from a shoot called Or LeZion, the first volume of the Yerodea section, response number 28. It is by Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul. Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul was a very slightly... So Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul was a younger contemporary of Rav Yosef. He was born in 1924. Rav Yosef was born in 1920. They knew each other from Parat Yosef. They grew up together. They were, Talmidei Chachamim together. Ben Zion Abba Shaul stayed in Parat Yosef, became a Magid Shir, and eventually became one of the co-Rashi Yeshiva. Then at the end of his life, started writing Sheilot to Tshuvot. So somewhere along the way, this is dated the 18th of Tevet of Tufshin Yud Tet, which was late 1958, the 29th of December of 1958. He writes Rav Yosef. So 1958, he's 34, Rav Yosef is 38, and Rav Yosef has already started publishing Yabia Omer, his massive and monumental volume of Tshuvot. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul is not publishing his Tshuvot yet. He publishes them, the Or LeZion, the Bar Ilan tells me, is published at the very end of his life. He started putting together three volumes of his writings, but he didn't seem to intend that now. So he writes Rav Yosef, and he says, this is a tshuva that I wrote about this question of whether or not we can take corneas from people who have passed away and use them in cornea transplants, right? Give people who have eye problems. Many times the problem is their cornea, they have cataracts, I mean, their cornea. If you can replace the cornea, they can see again. So therefore, the question is, are you allowed to do that for reasons we'll get to? So he writes to Rav Yosef, he says, could you do me a favor and publish it in Yabia Omer, and then also tell me your opinion. So in fact, Rav Yosef did. It appears in Yabia Omer, Chelek Gimel, the third volume, in the Yerodea section of Siman Chaf, and it's dated the 18th of Tevet of Tufshin Yud Tet, as we have it here. And then Rav Yosef, in the next tshuva, responds. His response will be too long for us to get to, other than in the very, very bare conclusion at the end, but we'll have a chance to see what Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul has to say about this issue. So the actual tshuva, he actually wrote it on Chav Zayin of Elul, so theoretically I should have put it back there, but since he sent it to Rav Yosef on the 18th of Tevet, that gives us our chance to use it here in our 18th of Tevet slot in our A Response of a Day series. So, first question is, he says, is there a prohibition? There seems to be a prohibition in the Gemara against getting benefit from people who have passed away. In other words, we're not allowed to take things from people who passed away many years ago. Anyway, different discussion. But we're not allowed to get benefit from people who have passed away. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul says, if you look at Rashi and Sanhedrin, he seems to assume it's an Isser D'Oraita, that is a Torah prohibition to get such benefit. And so too, the Tosfot seem to assume that way in a couple of places. And they learn it from a Gezerah. They assume that it's unlearned. It is derived as a Gezerah Shava, as a biblical inference. So the way you do a Gezerah Shava is you have a certain word appears in two different psukim, and you have a tradition that that word means to relate the two verses. And that teaches that halachot that apply in one context apply to another context as well. Whole discussion as well. The whole idea of Gezerah Shavah is very complicated as to what it was that was a matter of tradition and what it was that we're allowed to do on our own. But for our purposes, it seems like they learned the Gezerah Shavah of it. The pasuk says, "Vatamot Sham Miriam." Miriam passed away there. That word Sham is important because when it comes to Eglah Rufa, so an Eglah Rufa, let's remember, is the heifer that was killed, had its neck broken in a case where a corpse had been killed. A person is found murdered between two cities, and nobody knows who murdered the person. And that was seen as a problem because it was seen as the responsibility of the closest city to make sure that the people who are in the environs of their city are properly protected and that such murders don't happen. So the elders of that city, representing that city, have to take an eglah, they have to take a calf, a heifer, and not that has not been worked at all. They have to take it to a nachal that has never been worked, and they have to break the neck of the eglah there in the nachal. If I can be allowed to say, many years ago I wrote a book called Murderer in the Mikdash, which was a novel set in the time of a third Beit HaMikdash, a murder mystery. You can find it on Amazon. You can contact me about it. My email is grothst@gmail.com. In any case, and I tried to describe there what that ceremony would look like, some of the emotional resonance it would have, some of the purposes that it might fulfill by witnessing it, or as it were, might remind us what it was supposed to be all about. But for our purposes here, for Ben Sina Bashul's purposes, the key point is that the Eglah, after it's been had its neck broken and been killed in that way, is asur bahana. You can't get any benefit from it. You have to bury it there and get and do nothing with it other than that, get nothing from it. So the Gzerah Shavah tells you that if the word Sham appears there in the context of the Eglah Rufa, and it appears also in the context of Miriam passing away, Tosfot Rashi seems to understand that that is a biblical expression of the fact that we also cannot get benefit from people who have passed away. It's not just an asmachta, right? An asmachta is, sometimes people can say that when the Gemara refers to something as a biblical inference, it doesn't mean that it's a biblical inference. It only, sometimes, the Gemara will say, here's the verse that shows this. It doesn't mean it shows it at a technical legal standard. It means that this idea that we have at a Drabbanan level, we have this support for it in the text in front of us. So that would be called an asmachta. If it's not an asmachta, then it's a Torah prohibition to get benefit from those who have passed away. So too, there's a Rashba in the Chuvot who feels that way, and the Sefer HaChinuch, and then there's a Ramban. So in other words, Ben Sina Bashul believes that there is a significant corpus of Rishonim who hold that the prohibition of getting benefit from those who have passed away is d'oraita. If that were true, then it would mean getting benefit of taking the corneas out of those who have passed away and using them to restore the sight of those who have not passed, of those who don't have their sight, who could be benefit from this, would nonetheless be prohibited because we can't get benefit from those who have passed away. Shaul Melech claimed that was the Rambam's position as well, and he showed it and he proved it by noting that the Rambam says that anyone who gets benefit from that which has been offered to an Avodah Zarah gets malkot. So usually getting malkot means, not usually, almost always, getting malkot means, getting lashes, means that the person has transgressed a biblical, a Torah prohibition. And the Rambam derives it from a verse regarding Avodah Zarah that says, Vayochlu mizivchei meitim. They ate of the sacrifices offered to meitim, but in that context it clearly means Avodah Zarah, but it's referred to as meitim. And the Gemara says, Ma meit asur b'hana'ah, so too, or the Rambam says, Tikrovet hana'ah, tikrovet Avodah Zarah, tikrovet Avodah Kochavim is asur b'hana'ah. Now I'll say that the Shaul Melech proves it, because the Shaul Melech says, if you look in the Gemara, the way the Gemara understands that tikrovet has problems to it is that it takes it from a verse in Tehillim that says, "Vayitzamedu leval peor," they worship the Baal Peor, "Vayochlu mizivchei meitim," and they eat of the sacrifice of the dead. The Gemara, in several contexts, not in the context of getting benefit, but in several other contexts, says that that's the source for how you know the tikrovet has to be treated like those who have passed away. The Shaul Melech seems to assume that way. I don't know the Shaul Melech, pretty much just have Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul's citation of it, but I would just point out what the Rambam talks about, the prohibition of tikrovet. He quotes a different pasuk, the pasuk of Lotavitoiva El Beitecha. You can't bring an abomination into your home, and it needs to get two malkot for hava'ah, for bringing it. And also for another verse of Lo Yidbak Biyadcha Be'um Menacherim, you're not allowed to leave parts of this stuff in your possession. In any case, so I think that part is not clear. In any case, it does seem to be a group of Rishonim who hold that getting hana'ah from the bait, getting hana'ah from a person who has passed away, is prohibited at a Torah level. Then he points out that the Yabia Omer in the first volume, or Yosef himself in the first volume of Yabia Omer, had proven at length that even that which has been used to help the mate pass away, not pass away, but help the mate in its burial, as the word tashmishi ha-mate, that most poskim hold that they're prohibited to get benefit from them afterwards, midoraita, at a Torah level, and that's a debate with other achronim, but that's where Rav Yosef had held. So therefore, it seems like you can't get hana'ah from those who have passed away, and therefore it seems to be a problem in terms of our wish or desire to take these corneas and use them to help people regain their sight. Another possible avenue of leniency here would be to say that even within the context of saying that you can't get hana'ah, you can't get benefit from a person who passed away, that might not apply to or hamet. Does it apply to the skin and other parts of the body that aren't fully parts of the body? There are those who seem to have held that or hamet is not aser min han Torah, that is not prohibited at a Torah level. But Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, there's a Tosfos Zvachim that says that. Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul says he thinks it's clear that krum ha'ayin, that the cornea should be thought of as the meat, the flesh of a person itself, because after all, he says you're not going to think that the membranes around the brain or around the lungs would be considered like the skin, and so you can get hana'ah from them. It's not perfectly clear why you wouldn't say that, but even if you wouldn't say that, I might have thought, because those are clearly internal, whereas the cornea, while it's not so visible to the eye, but it's clearly not as internal, it's part of the eye, and the eye sees out to the world, and therefore it's not as external, as that is internal. And I could have imagined making that argument, but Mitzvah Bashul is certain that that's not an argument to make. Another avenue for leniency, and this one, by the way, is one of the central ones that Rav Avadya Yosef uses in his response, where he thinks that Rav Avadya Yosef is going to say he thinks it's permissible. Rav Binzion Abba Shaul is going to say that it's not permissible for Jews. We'll get to non-Jews in a second. But another avenue of possible leniency, he says, is you might have claimed that it's not biblically prohibited because the hana'a that's being gotten is shalok kidera hana'atan, that we're benefiting from the corpse and from the cornea, not kidera hana'atan. That's not clear to me why it's not kidera hana'atan, because after all, you're taking it from the eye of the person who passed away and putting it to somebody else's eye and then using it the way that person would have used it. I think what he means is derech hana'atan is usually that when we get benefit from something, we get benefit for ourselves in some external kind of a way. The reason to think this would be an exception is, as the Mishnah Melech points out, is that in the case of a person who passed away, the prohibition isn't referenced in the terms of achila, in terms of eating, but rather in terms of getting benefit from, like kodashim, like sacrifices, like things that belong to the Beit HaMikdash. And there we have a general principle that it doesn't matter whether it's ro'i la'achila or not, you can eat it or not. So too, by a person who's passed away, if you're going to get benefit from it, whatever way. So I think he means, when he says it's not kederach hanatan, he means kederach hanatan, you should think, means we get warmed by it, we eat it, we this, we that, but not just that we put it somewhere and we're able to see. I think that's what he means, that it's not kederach hanatan. I could have theoretically argued that point. But he's trying to find a leniency, and the leniency he's trying to find is, if I can say that it's not the ordinary way to benefit from this, maybe there wouldn't be a prohibition at a d'oraita level, and that's what he thinks the Mishnah Melech was trying to say. So too the Radvaz seems to say it, that if it's not kederach hana'atan by hekdesh in terms of items dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash, they're not prohibited. And if that's true, since the prohibition in terms of a corpse is related to that prohibition, you might have thought that those, you would think maybe that it's permitted. But others disagree, like the Rav Ginat de Veradim disagrees, and he thinks that since we learn the mate, as we said before, since we learn the prohibition of Hana'a Ba in the case of a corpse from Egla Arufa, we get it from the comparison between Miriam and the Egla Arufa, so there's no distinction made in the kind of Hana'a you have. Then Rav Benzion Abba Shaul suggests that the prohibition of getting benefit from a corpse, shaloka derech hanato, in a way that doesn't meet its usual way of getting benefit from it, whether that's considered a Torah prohibition or not, he thinks might be connected to another halacha of whether or hamate, the prohibition of the skin that we talked about before, and he rejected the whole idea because he said that you can treat the cornea like it's a piece of the skin. But now he says that debate nonetheless comes up again, because if the skin is considered to be a Torah prohibition, and there's a Tosfos in Zvachim that thought that it's not a Torah prohibition, it's only a rabbinic prohibition, and the reason that the Tosfos there thought that was because it says kapara in the case of a person who passed away, and it also says kapara, atonement, in the case of kodashim, in the case of items that belong to hekdesh, in the case of kodashim, the sacrifices, the hides, the leather, the skin of the sacrifices is not considered part of the sacrifice. The kohanim get it, so it's not prohibited by hana'ah, it's not connected to hana'ah, so therefore, and if it's not kederach hana'atan, for sure, it's allowed the case of kodashim, so therefore you'd think, the Tosfos would think the same thing about a person who passed away. But there's another Tosfot in Nida, and Rabbeinu Tam, and Rashba, lots of authorities who hold that even the skin of a person who's passed away is prohibited in Hana'ah. You can't get benefit from it at a Torah level, and therefore, says Rabbeinu Tzion Abashul, it seems clear that the majority of posts, the majority of authorities, hold that it's prohibited to Oraita at a Torah level, and therefore, you can't do it here as well. So the truth is, I don't want to hold you in suspense. He's going to end up saying that he thinks you can't use a Jew's corneas for these purposes. But he does have one more possible way to say that you could do it even from a Jew who's passed away, the cornea of a Jew who passed away. And that is, maybe you'll say, so the last way that he's going to try to allow it, even with the Jewish corpse, with corneas from Jewish corpses, is to say that the benefit from the cornea would be being able to see. Happens to be we have a halachic principle that kol and mar'eh and re'ach, the uses of the senses. So kol is sound, mar'eh is seeing, and re'ach is smell, are not considered mi'ilah. They're not considered getting inappropriate benefit from hekdesh, from the Beit HaMikdash. So that's true. It sounds like the halacha is saying that these things aren't considered hana'ah. Right? So if that was true, then you could say, okay, let's even say you can't get hana'ah, you can't get benefit from a corpse. Let's even say that includes the skin of the corpse. So even if the cornea could be considered skin, I still could do it. By those terms, I would be allowed to do it. But nonetheless, all I'm getting out of the cornea is sight. And we have a principle that sight is not considered mi'ilah. So Rav Ben Zion Abba Shul says, no, I don't think that works either. Because when we say that sight or sound or smell don't count as hana'ah, what that means is you have a person whose senses are all intact, and that person is going to enjoy those senses out of the Beit HaMikdash. So an example would be, there's a beautiful smell coming from the Beit HaMikdash, you know, the priests have offered the incense, and this person gets the smell, so that would be re'ach. And that's not a question of mi'ilah, because it just floats out there, and or you see what's going on there, and you enjoy watching, that's not going to be an issue. Or, another example, isha ha-boreret chitim la'or beit ha-shoeva. Or you're having a big celebration in the time of the Beit HaMikdash on Sukkot. You'd have every night, you know, these big celebrations about the libation of the water, because that was hopefully going to be something that would be part of service of Hashem that would hopefully lead to a year of great rain and of great bounty in all sorts of ways that come from rain and otherwise. And so there are these big celebrations and big enjoyments, and there was lots of light. They used to light these huge torches, and those torches would light up the whole city of Yerushalayim. So let's say a woman's sitting in her house somewhere else in Yerushalayim, she's checking the wheat grains for bugs, for whatever she was checking them for, and she's separating them, and she's using the light from the base of Mechad Peta Shoeva. So that, he says, is what the Gemara means when it says there's no Me'ilah. That's because that light has no substance to it in the sense of that it's considered an object that you're getting benefit from. It's just out there in the world. Or smell, or all those kinds of things. That's the standard when the Gemara says that there's no such thing as mi'ilah, as an appropriate benefit from such items. But a suma, a blind person, who you're going to take something from a person who's passed away, you're going to put it in their eye, and they're going to be able to see. And until now, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shul points out, halakhically they're considered a mate. So not halakhically, but in agadic terms. We had this, I'm taping this a little earlier than the 18th of Tevet. If you remember back to Parashat Toldot, so we say that Yitzchak, who couldn't see, is in some sense considered like a mate, because Rashi says he's stuck in his house and he has no Yetzer Hara anymore because he can't see anything, he can't do anything. He's just a sort of an interesting claim by Rashi that he has no Yetzer Hara, because I can imagine even those who can't see having some kind of evil inclination. But this person, who until now has been lacking in sight, and now the cornea transplant is going to give them their sight back, it's like a whole new person. Right? So Rav Ben Zion Abba Shul says there's no greater benefit than that. And so therefore he thinks you can't say that that's what the Gemara meant when it said kol and mara and reach, that sound and vision and smell are not considered susceptible to mi'ilah. That's if you smell something with a sense that already exists. But if I give you a whole existence of that smell, then certainly you're going to get benefit. You consider getting benefit from it. And he points out that in Shudha Radvaz, the Radvaz thinks even more so that if somebody willfully smells a flower or an apple that belongs to Hekdesh, that is considered mi'ilah, because you're getting benefit from the actual item. Meaning that the Radvaz understood when the Gemara says kol, mara, and reach, that sound and sight and smell are not susceptible to mi'ilah, to having considered getting inappropriate benefit from Beit HaMikdash or from items that belong to the Beit HaMikdash, the Radvaz understood that to mean if it's out there in the world, meaning there's a Simchat Beit HaShoeva going on, there's a celebration going on in the Beit HaMikdash about the library, and they've lit these torches, and then the light spreads all over the place. But if I go and I put something under the light to read from it or to benefit from it, or if there's an apple out there and I go over and I, even if I don't touch it, but I go over and I smell the apple. Not just I'm in a room and there's a nice apple smell because the room is full of hekdesh apples, but I go over and smell them. The Rebbe says that would be, even though it's kol, mara, and reach, even though it's sound and sight and smell, he says that would be mi'ilah anyway. That is related to, You know, we've just finished, by the time you're hearing this, we've just finished the holiday of Hanukkah. So on Hanukkah, there's this tradition to put a shamash, to put an extra candle in there, so that we don't accidentally get benefit from the lights. So the Radvaz would say, I think that's an example of it, right? If you, even if we say that kol and mara and reyach have no mi'ilah, that sight and sound, that sound and sight and smell have no, the benefit from them is not considered mi'ilah, is exceeding benefit. That's only if it's out there. But if I go over and consciously and intentionally get benefit from the item itself, so the Radvaz says that's a problem as well. And the Ravitzian Abashul says another example would be, let's say I take a musical instrument that belongs to Hekdesh and I play it, right? Or I pick up the ketoveh, the incense, and I smell it. So there's the item of Hekdesh there. I'm getting benefit from the item of Hekdesh itself, and clearly that would be benefit, and therefore he thinks that if there would be a benefit. The cornea would be a benefit because it's giving the actual sight, and therefore he thinks there's no way out of it. So his opinion is that when it comes to Jewish corpses, we can't take corneas from the corpses in order to give people their sight. Ravad Yosef, again, it's a long tshuva, and I didn't go through the whole thing, but Ravad Yosef fundamentally thinks that it's considered enough, shaloki derech hanatan, it's considered not the ordinary way of getting benefit, and that he thinks that's enough of a category that you could do, and that it's so serious to give people their sight back that you could do these transplants with Jewish corneas as well. Ben Sira Bashul goes on, however, because he didn't know Rav Yosef's response yet, and he doesn't respond to it. He actually writes in the beginning of this tshuva that he later saw Rav Yosef's response, but he didn't have the time to, or at the end of the tshuva, he sees it in the third volume, Rav Yosef responded to him, but he says, this is the very end of this tshuva, I apologize, not at the beginning, at the end, V'yotche kasheli la'avor al dvarav de'atika kashye mecharati. So this is an old sugya, and it's hard for me to go over it again. I got into it once, I can't get into it again, so I'm just going to leave it where it is. This is what I wrote at the time, this is what he wrote, and you figure it out. I think this is because he was editing it when he was already very old and didn't have the mental energy to get back into each issue over again. So the one area that's left for him to discuss is, what about if it's a non-Jew? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeredeya says that the prohibition of getting benefit for those who have passed away applies equally. It's a matter of human corpses. It's not a matter of religious Jews' corpses or Jews' corpses. It's human corpses. But most Yishanami says, don't think that's true. I would note, just that I looked in the Barilan, the biographer of Ben Sira Bashul, the biographer said that he held that Sfaradim should follow the Ben Ish Chai, who was more of a machmir, more of a stringent posek, than the Shulchan Aruch, whereas Ravad Yosef was very well known for always saying we should follow the Shulchan Aruch. So that was sort of a difference of approach of the two of them. And Ravad Yosef there was the one who was the more radical, because the common custom, I think, among Sfaradim of the 30s and 40s was that the Ben Ish Chai had become the posek for Sfaradim, the rule, the decisor for Sfaradim, and it was Ravad Yosef going back to the Shulchan Aruch that A, opened up many avenues of leniency, and B, was a new idea among Sfaradim at the time. It met up with some resistance from important halachists of Ravad Yosef's time. Here, that doesn't get into the question, it's just interesting to me, because here, Ravad Yosef is going to note that the Beis Yosef has a chumrah. He says that it's equally true of Jews and non-Jews that you can't get benefit from those who have passed away, but most Rishonim say it does not apply to a non-Jew. So there's Bikyos who says the Ramban is clear that you can get benefit, and so on and so on. There's a Ramban, there's a Meiri, whoever it is. And therefore, if most authorities held that it's mutar, even though the Shulchan Aruch says it's not, he says here he thinks we can follow those other poskim, those other decisors, b'tseiruf hatam d'havei shelok k'derech hanatan. And here he's already willing to revive the idea that it's lok k'derech hanatan. When it came to Jews, he said, he thought that even if it's lok k'derech hanatan, it still is a prohibited hana'ah, prohibited benefit, even if it's not the usual way you get the benefit. But here, once he's saying that there are many people who hold that the getting benefit, straight up benefit for the corpus of a non-Jew might not be prohibited by halacha. So, and now you have now the opinion of the Radvaz and the Mishnah of the Melech that you're allowed to get hana'ah even from a Jewish corpse, shaloka derech hanatan. He thinks that will play in here and help us out, and therefore he calls it a sfeik sfeika in terms of the non-Jewish corpse. By sfeik sfeika, he means maybe it's allowed because non-Jewish corpses are generally allowed, and even if non-Jewish corpses weren't generally allowed, they were the same as Jewish corpses. Even with Jewish corpses, there were those who held, not nobodies, there are those who held that if the benefit is becoming shalok derech hanatan, not the usual way of getting benefit, that would be allowed. But then he adds in that, but you shouldn't think that allows doing it for a Jewish corpse, even though he's right, because he doesn't think there's enough evidence for that. Because besides the prohibition of getting benefit, There's also a prohibition when it comes to a Jewish corpse of what's called nivul hamet, mistreating a corpse. So one is we can't get benefit. In other words, you're not allowed to mistreat corpses. And Rabbi Yosef says, I'm sorry, Rabbi Ben Shimon Abishol says that in terms of corpses and mistreating them, even for save other people, there's a machloket achronim about it. Meaning, let's suppose for some reason we need to be menavel a mate, we need to mistreat a mate. And this comes up for the terms of questions of autopsies, of transplants, of various sorts of things. But if I'm going to mistreat, whatever the definition of mistreat is, but I'm going to mistreat the corpse, so the Noda Behuda held that you're allowed to save somebody else's life, because, like in general, we say that Pikuach Nefesh is doche lots of things, pushes aside lots of things, but the Binyan Sion, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, he held that it was us, he held that it was prohibited, because he held that what the Gemara says, the whole discussion of its own, when the Gemara says you can't save yourself with the money of your friend, so most people hold that that means that if you use somebody else's money to save yourself, you have to pay them back. The Binyan Sion wasn't clear. The Binyan Sion thought there was room to say that it meant you couldn't do it unless you got their permission. But here, he says, Rav Shul says even more so, because everybody agrees, should agree, that it should be prohibited because you can't even pay them back anyway. It's just nivul hamet. However, he says, if the non-Jew, before he passed away or she passed away, had agreed to give parts of their body to science, as it were, in this case, corneas, for transplantation, that too is a machloka. The Chatam Sofer held that you're not allowed to do that, that meaning that the prohibition of nivul hamet, the prohibition of mistreating a corpse, isn't a function of the corpse, the person who passed away's honor. It's how we're supposed to treat those who have passed away. It's not their personal question. So therefore, the person says, you can mistreat me. Chatham Sofer said, it doesn't matter because we're not allowed to mistreat them because we're not allowed to mistreat them. Not because it's wrong as an act towards them. As agreed the Maharam Shik. But the Binyan Sion, who a second ago was the more Machmir perspective, he was the perspective that you can't do nivul hamein even to save your life. Here he says, though, he thinks nivul hamet is a function of that person's personal honor and the respect we have for that person. And therefore, if the person says ahead of time that it's fine with him to transplant the cornea, you're allowed to do it. So putting all that together, says Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shul, the whole question of Isurei Hana'a, of whether it's prohibited to get benefit from the non-Jew's body, is a debate. Whether it's since it's Shaloka Derech HaNatan, it's not its usual way of getting benefit, that's another matter of debate. So it's all a matter of a suffix, whether it's Min HaTorah, Midir Abanan. The whole question, Isur Nivul, of prohibition of mistreating a body, is, as we said, a debate. And therefore, Ben Sidon Rishul says, you put all this together, he thinks that when it comes to a non-Jew who has agreed to have his corneas transplanted after his passing, he thinks that you should be allowed to do it. But you have to be very careful to be sure that people understand that it has to be only with the permission of the person who passed away before they passed away. Meaning, you can't have somebody else come as a proxy and say, oh, I know that my uncle or whatever it is would have agreed to it. They have to be that they agreed in their lifetime, and you don't want it to become something that people think that is just okay. And he says, we see in our times that they, and this I think was an issue in the state of Israel for a long time, that doctors would do autopsies and a lot of things for no valid halachic reason, and they take out body parts for what halacha didn't consider any kind of valid reason. And Ibn Sirah Bashul says that. He says, you got to be very careful about this because we see that it's easy for people to take what we do, what we say is okay as in a very limited way, and to make that, to take that more broadly than is appropriate. Fundamentally, though, he ends up by saying he thinks there's no way, and here he disagrees, Rav Yosef will disagree with him, there's no way to do it with Jewish corneas, but with non-Jews who have agreed before they passed away, he thinks it can be allowed, although it has to be done with great care to make sure that doesn't lead to doing things that are prohibited. And that is Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, with a response of a day for the 18th of Tevet. Have a great day.